Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging in there. We're talking about today a very serious subject, Countdown to Calamity. Countdown to Calamity. We might call it calamity. God's word points out that there's a day coming, that there will be the wrap-up of the universe. His disciples had asked him 3 basic questions in Matthew 24. His disciples asked Jesus the question, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And ladies and gentlemen, we were just talking about a moment ago that they've set up a clock. It's a climate clock where there's the countdown. The climate clock seems to indicate, based on AOC and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Bernie Sanders and the whole crowd, that are the climate czars, they seem to be telling us that we have anywhere from 6 to 9 years before this world wraps up, before there is absolute calamity that takes place in the world. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, as we think about that time clock and what they're saying with the climate clock that they're talking about now, and they're having it set, something of that nature. And I saw pictures in the articles that I read, pictures where they're set up already around the world where the end of the time is coming. But I believe that God is symmetrical. I believe that God is operating on a 7,000-year universe. I'm thankful for the timeline that my wife was able to develop back in the 90s when she was doing her PhD, and her dissertation was based on a 7,000-year timeline. We got 7,000-year universe. And ladies and gentlemen, today I believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,960 years based on the Jewish calendar. And if God's operating on a 7,000-year clock and we have a 1,000-year millennial reign, we have a 7-year time of tribulation, that's 1,007 years, added to approximately 5,900 on the Jewish clock, that will leave us with somewhere between 3 to 9 years. And I'm not setting a date, I'm not setting a time, but it's a very short period of time before the rapture of the church takes place. We're suddenly see snatched out. The 7 years of tribulation take place, the ending of the 7 years of tribulation. The Lord Jesus Christ himself returns and sets up his kingdom, and he rules and reigns out of Jerusalem for 1,000 years in the new millennial temple that shall be built at that time. But I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, these folks, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrats, do not realize what they're doing is they're literally setting a time frame for the end of the world. And whether they realize it or not, I'm sure they don't, eschatologically speaking, prophetically speaking, they're setting a time frame that I believe fits hand in glove with the time frame that God's working on according to the word of God. Without realizing it, they're giving a warning of the end of the world as we know it today. And I don't believe in climate change, but ladies and gentlemen, there is a place in the center of the universe that's hot, and it's a place called hell. And so it is going to get hotter and hotter one day, especially for those that have never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Greg, you've heard my statements in relationship to the 7,000 years. How do you feel? What are your thoughts? What is your input in relationship to what they're saying as far as the time frame for the end of the world and how that fits eschatologically, biblically speaking? What is God doing in the midst of this?
Well, my God that created this whole thing is a God of balance, the God of design. And as much as I just said that, you know, if you believe that carbon emissions are pollutants, then you as a human being are a polluter, Plutor. Is it E-R-O-R? Okay. So in any case, the reality is, as you emit carbon dioxide, those plants take it in. You know, used to we taught these things in school. You know, you breathe out carbon dioxide, the plants breathe it in. What do they put off? They put off oxygen. As the planet has had more carbon dioxide, you know what has happened? We've greened the planet. It's literally, you go into a nursery today, and if it's a big indoor nursery, a lot of times you'll find that they have carbon dioxide emitters, producers, to be able to make those plants healthy and thrive. You know, to call carbon dioxide a pollutant is a twisted. It's perverse. It makes you into something bad. It's not just your automobile. It's not just the cow flatulence. It's not just, I mean, everything that represents development, everything that represents civilization is bad. You know, they don't talk about all the animals in the wild. Matter of fact, they do that with nature in general. We just based on scientific balance, we're an apex predator. However, your rabid leftist would have us give up meats, would have us give up all sorts of things other than what they approve of. Now, that's kind of fascist. That's kind of authoritarian. They'd like to control what we eat. You know, they don't go to the shark and say, hey, stop eating little fish. They don't go to the lion and say, hey, stop eating, you know, a caribou. You know, stop eating, you know, wild critters out here. But somehow or another, we as apex predators, now, see, that's extracting, you know, God and creation from the equation and just applying, you know, pure science, pure rational logic. And as an apex predator, why would they tell me to stop but not tell all these critters to stop? That's, again, worshiping the creation more than the creator. That's excluding God from the equation. That's taking God out and saying that we are God. Understand that that's what they'd really like to do at the end of the day. They want to be the ones in control, not God in control. I got news for you. Everything humans take control of, everything that the left tries to guide and dominate and direct, they tear it apart. I mean, side note, completely far aside, have y'all looked at the pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki here all these many decades after the atomic bombs went off in them? Listen, these are thriving communities, thriving cities today. Have you looked at pictures of Detroit? Have you looked at pictures of parts of Minnesota today? You know, have you looked at pictures of Chicago, south side of Chicago today? Have you looked at going around? And matter of fact, all the places that they had the Summer of Love, have you looked? Those are all places that Democrats control, and they want to take their policies not just nationwide. They want to take their policies global. Things don't get better in that equation, folks. They really don't.
It's a mind-boggling thought for them to control the nation as they're about to be on the, as they're on the verge of totally controlling. Greg, hold on a minute. I believe we have Derwin on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Pastor. A big God bless y'all to Greg, Glenn, and yourself. Everything that Greg has pointed out is chemically, biologically spot on. There is no drips or errors or anything in his presentation. But there's actually an advantage. I have been a proponent of burning ethanol in all of our light-duty vehicles, light-duty trucks. Heck, we could even burn it in railroad engines. And the reason why is in your fossil fuels, you have a discharge product of combustion that contains vanadium, sulfur, and all these weird minerals that when mixed with water come up with some pretty, disadvantageous chemicals. The product of combustion of pure ethanol is water and CO2. And I know Greg obviously hates being a polluter, with that CO2, but that's what feeds every bit of the process known as photosynthesis. The byproduct of photosynthesis, as Greg has pointed out, is oxygen. And the whole point is this was all done by our Lord and Savior at the beginning.
Absolutely. He created and he created in a perfect balance.
Exactly. He gave us alcohol, and Satan stole it and got it in our bodies and our brains, when it's actually a fuel. So I'll back out here. You guys have a great, blessed day. Thank you.
Derwin, thank you so much for your input, for your comments that are so, how would you say, seamlessly tied into what we have just been talking about. Greg, we're talking about today the countdown to calamity, and we're on the fast track, I believe, for the wrap-up of the final of the final days. And some of the things that we find in relationship to the final days is what we see taking place in China and old Persia, which is Iran today, Russia, and the Middle East is now on the very verge of a total war against Israel. And Israel is the Jewish nation, the apple of God's eye. And the Biden administration is now supplying the Islamic jihadists with funds by the hundreds of millions of dollars to the Arab jihadist, the what is called the PLO. And he's doing so. And right now, it seems as though, although Biden's administration, some of Biden's leaders are saying that we stand solid with Israel, I believe that we're watching our backs being turned as a nation, turning our backs on the apple of God's eye, that is the nation of Israel. Greg, what is the sense, prophetically speaking, when we see these things happening, when Israel is being left out on the limb and the limb's being sawed off, as the old cliche would go, and Israel is going to have to come against Iran single-handedly without the Americans backing, if we see this come to fruition as Biden is carrying it out, how does that play into what we know as the eschatological future and the timeline of God for these final days?
Well, as is often said, we ought to lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. It's coming soon. I'd like for you to explore just a little more, because you're talking about, we talked a few moments about Matthew chapter 24 and Jesus coming out of the temple. He's looking back and saying, hey, not a stone be left upon a stone. His disciples are going, what in the world? And they ask that question, you know, when will these things be? When will your return be, and what will the end of time be? And I've heard pastors preach from that text and say, this is all history. This is not future text. This is not eschatological. You've got a series of different things, at least half a dozen points, that have not taken place yet that are mentioned in that text. Specifically, though, when it comes to we'll go down another path for a moment, if you don't mind. Maxine Waters just ran her mouth again, and basically she's calling
somebody
for the
protest. Somebody needs to lock that woman up and throw the key away. Go ahead.
Oh my! Listen, she is the one that was screaming that Donald Trump ought to be, you know, locked up and the key thrown away, and he ought to be kicked out of office. And he said far, 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 far less than what this woman said over and over. She's been inciting violence, inciting insurrection, and of course she's calling for violence in the midst of this George Floyd, Derek Chauvin case. And you know, that kind of points to one element, that Matthew 24 text, and we've covered it before, when the scripture talks about nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. What is that specifically, and does that fit? Are we seeing that which will potentially develop into a broader division between ethnic groups? I mean, they've been for the past many months trying to make America into an anti-Asian nation because some kid went in and shot up some massage parlors. And they've tried to make us into an anti-black nation for decades, some of them. Now, just lately with the BLM movement, they've ratcheted it up. They've turned it in, you know, cranked it up into high gear. But does that fit within the text, and explain it to us?
Absolutely. In the Matthew 24 text, as you're referring to, and it talks about nation against nation, the word is ethnos. We got our word ethnicity from that. God created one race, and it's a human race, but they're different ethnicities, that is, different skin tonations, if you will. And as a result of that, we're watching the war between ethnic groups around the world. And you have people like Waters that is promulgating that and pushing that. We're watching it with the Summer of Love, as it was called, in Portland, Oregon, where they're burning the city down. And you find in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, 25, 26, where the Lord Jesus himself says, a nation cannot stand if it's divided, a home cannot stand if it's divided. And so we're watching a divided nation We're dividing the nation ethnically. We're dividing the nation morally. We're dividing the nation spiritually, dividing the nation politically. And as a result of that, there's no foundation. It will collapse. And in Psalms 11, verse 3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do is the question that we need to ask. And Greg, I know you understand, but there are multitudes of folks that perhaps are listening, cannot understand why there's a passion from a Christian, from a Christian pastor, a Christian theologian, why there is a passion about warning the nation, warning our people, warning our listeners about what the future holds based on where we're going. And it's simply because as we see these things taking place and understanding that in Revelation 17, Revelation 18, we're finding a one-world global governance, a one-world global church, a one-world global financial system. And when that takes place, our listeners need to understand the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be destroyed. There'll be no such thing as freedom of religion, freedom of speech. There'll be no such thing as right to keep and bear arms. Our Bill of Rights are being eviscerated, and Joe Biden has said there's nothing, and I use the term he didn't, nothing poured in concrete, nothing in stone, as Joe Biden calls it, about the Bill of Rights. In other words, he says the Bill of Rights can be changed, modified, or removed, and there's nothing wrong with that as he sees it, and we're seeing that taking place today. And I am concerned, Greg, and I pray that our listeners will recognize I'm concerned with where we're going. But at the same time, I want us to understand, want our listeners to understand, that God's not asleep. God's not on vacation. God's not dead. God's not even had the COVID-19 vaccination yet. And yet, at the same time, we need to understand that God's in control. And what we see these Looney Tunes on the left doing, God is using that and placing it in absolute order with the chronology of the end times and what the scripture says will take place. And part of that end time chronology, Greg, that our listeners need to understand is the blooming war in the Middle East. And you find that taking place according to the last day's scripture. You find that taking place in Revelation in particular. You find that taking place and setting the stage in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 11. And you find China being one of the major promulgators in that time. And you find in Revelation chapter 9 where China will have a 200 million man army, and that is on the fast track today in the nation of China. In fact, I've read several articles where China is now developing a superhuman soldier military power where they're embedding chips in the brain so that that soldier, that Chinese soldier, will not feel pain, he will not feel fear, and he will not get hungry, and simply will fight until he dies. And that's what we see taking place today that is fulfilling the eschatological biblical text about the end of time and what God's going to do in that period of time. Greg, hang in there. I believe we have Dan on the line. Go ahead, Dan, with your question or comments, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. Another unbelievable program today as far as factual information. But let's set aside all that truth that you've all spoken, including the callers. And let's remember, if the righteous are called by God and serve God in the service that he chooses for them to do, then we must realize and accept that Satan has his followers that he calls to do his bidding to overdo the great things that God has done worldwide. In that fact, gentlemen, it's okay in college now to have Satan worship parties where they literally cover themselves in blood and whatever else goes on in these acceptable parties at campuses. And our leaders, it's known, are Satan worshipers, Clinton's and several others, of course. Now, why is that happening? It's happening because of time. They have methodically used time to succeed where they are today, and they know by now their wealth and their power, they have all the time that they need to finish what they want to accomplish, bar the will of God. The only thing that can stop them is God's timing. And he says, no one knows. And he says to us, continue daily the fight against this until I come. And that is what it's all about. You can expose and expose and expose all you want, but until you join the fight to stop it, what takes place? our victory or theirs. We all know the end story, and we all wait for it. We pray for it to come every day. But it's not up to us. It is only us, up to us to do all we can do to turn back that tide, to slow it down, to go to God in repentance and ask for a reprieve. Enough time to bring our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren into the family of God. That's what's at stake.
Amen.
And until we gather together in public forums in every city, in every county, in every state, and expose these people and expose what they've done and to bring out that truth, we will never, never fulfill God's will in our lives. And I blow
Absolutely. Brother Dan, thank you so much for your call and for your input. You're exactly right. What Dan is saying, if I can put it in a thumb nutshell, a little wrap-up statement, God's called us to be salt and light. And until we step out of the closet into the world, until we come out from under the bed, until we take the salt out of the shaker and comes into the world, we'll not make an indelible change in the world. And although we understand these things are going to come about just as we see them happening, because God has already told us that in His Word, it doesn't mean that we're to sit back in silence and do nothing. This is the reason it is so sad when I read an article, as I'm looking at now. It is a poll by the Barner Gallup poll, and it says American church membership hits an all-time low with stunning low numbers. And right now, this article says, since 1999, Gallup results show the percentage of Americans who say that they are members of a house of worship has been steadily declining to an all-time low to 47% in 2020. And ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the major problems, is because of the lack of salt and light. Greg, hang in there for a moment. I believe we have Derwin back with us. Derwin, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Pastor. I got to thinking these nouveau socialists, all of us Christians, all of us liberty lovers ought to stand up, and every time one of them gets up, we should shout them down with these words of a great American hero. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. Greg, what are your comments based on what Dan said just a moment ago and what Derwin is saying? How do you respond to that?
Well, I didn't hear all of what Dan had to say. Derwin, I hope that you are doing well. I know that you dealt with a few things recently. We're praying for you, and I hope you're in full-blown recovery mode. I know on the note of where we are eschatologically, on the note of where you know, the nation is, the world is, I would look back to the Church of Galatia, I think, or Thessalonica. They were at Thessalonica, many of them sitting around already waiting for the return of Christ. And that's in the first century. Here we are over 19 centuries later, and we're expecting the return of Christ. And I believe that the evidence is bearing out that we are closer and closer and closer. His return is nigh, but we need to realize that his return could be 50 years, 100 years out. Do we want to, in the meantime, fail to be salt and light, fail to or allow the United States to fail to be a beacon to the world? We still have the freest parish system on earth. We still send more missionaries than any other place on earth, but that is in jeopardy. Every single day, it seems like the left is chipping away at the foundation. And the destructive qualities are off the charts. The Roman Empire was horrific, but what will come in a global system is that sort of tyranny internationally. And the Antichrist will wield, wield with an iron fist, you know, shutting off the ability for folks that get saved during that period of time to be able to buy and sell. The horrors can be much worse than Nazi Germany, much worse than the Bolshevik Revolution, much worse than Mao's China, much worse than Hugo Chavez's Venezuela. And by the way, the last of the Castro brothers is gone, but for 60 years they were, you know, dictators in Cuba. And I'll say today that the left would like to have that level of control in the United States. And for us to continue to be a beacon of light, we need to be salt and light, not just in sharing the truth and love, not just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, but standing on those freedoms that were so hard fought for and won. People bled and died for our liberty. It was Daniel Webster that said, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. So we can't back down from this. We need to realize that we have a dual responsibility as both Christian soldiers and patriots. We have a responsibility in both fields and both matters.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we need to understand, Greg, with you saying that, it takes a biblical worldview to recognize these things. I'm looking at an article that says, stunning number of Americans do not hold a biblical worldview. The article states, a new study by a longtime evangelical Christian researcher, George Barner, finds that 94% of Americans do not hold a biblical worldview. 94%. It says further in the article, very few school curriculums focuses directly on a person's worldwide view. He said most adults don't even know what a worldview is, much less what the worldview alternatives are, how they differ, and which one they possess. We've been shocked at how few Christian schools, as well as religious congregations and churches, directly address worldview issues, end quote. In other words, Greg, what I'm saying and what this article is saying, it's about a five-page article, but what it is saying is that even in our churches today, we do not have a biblical worldview. That is, what does the Bible say? How do we view what the Scripture says, and how do we view what the world is doing and what's taking place in the world? How does that come into play, and how do we view it? Well, we see these things taking place, as we see with the Biden administration and with the COVID pass that is on the very horizon. We need to understand that it's coming near. Greg, wrap us up. We've got about 10 seconds before our broadcast is over.
Well, folks, you'll be well-founded if you're founded in the truth of the Word of God. You have absolute truth there. If you're going to be salt and light, you have to come in contact with the world, but never give up hope. Again, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. We're seeing these things come to a rapid conclusion. Be ready for His return.
Absolutely. And Greg, as we see these things taking place and looking up, lifting up our head, because our redemption draweth nigh, we need not live in a state of fear, but of faithing the Lordship of Jesus Christ each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.